My dearly beloved in Christ, it is certainly surprising for us that the church has nearly the identical gospel two Sundays in a row. And this shows us the importance of this gospel in the will, the intention, the mind of our Holy Mother, the Church. Last Sunday, the account of the end of time, and also, as I had mentioned in the sermon of destruction of Jerusalem, we had taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, much more detailed than today. And today we read the same prophecy of our Lord as given by St. Luke, which does not have the amount of detail. And so the question then comes to mind, why twice in a row? Well, last Sunday, we read this account because it was the last Sunday after Pentecost, signifying the end of time. Today, we begin a new liturgical year, and we read about the end of the world because Advent is all about our Lord's coming. The word Advent means coming. And so we call to mind the coming of our Lord in the world. He came into the world at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, was born into poverty and suffering in a cave fit for animals. And he came thus, in these very poor circumstances, to redeem us, to suffer and die, to reopen the gates of heaven, to institute his church for our guidance and our salvation as a means of grace. So we call to mind during Advent that first coming of the Son of God into the world. But we also should reflect upon his second coming. And that will, of course, be at the end of time. And this event was mentioned by our Lord on a number of occasions. Perhaps most forcefully, it is brought to our mind when our Lord was dragged before the Sanhedrin. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure thee that thou tell us if thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Thou hast said it, I am. And henceforth you shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty." And they tore their garments and stopped their ears. They thought, this is blasphemy. And not only was our Lord declaring himself to be what he truly is, the Son of God, but he was also warning them, be careful what you are about to do, the judgment you are about to render, because I will come at the end of the world, and it will not be as you see me right now, chained, mocked, mistreated. No, the second coming will be tremendous, with great power, as our Lord said, and majesty. And when our Lord ascended into heaven, what did the angels say to the apostles as they gazed at our Lord rising up into heaven until a cloud hid him from their sight? The angels said, "He shall come again in the same manner as you have seen him going into heaven." Our Lord will come seated on the clouds. The angels will blow the trumpet. The bodies of all men who have ever lived will be raised from the dead. And all mankind shall be judged. But our Lord said, before this comes to pass, there will be great signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. The stars will fall from heaven. The sun will not give her light. Men will wither away in fear and expectation of what is about to come upon the world. And we have in other prophecies, it is mentioned that the world will be consumed by fire. And when we say our Lord will come to judge the living and the dead, when we say that in the Apostles' Creed, we mean those who are living on the last day, and who will die as the world is consumed by fire, and those who have been dead were not alive at that time. But all mankind will be gathered together in one place. Now, can you imagine what a concourse of human beings that will be? What a tremendous sight that will be that we will behold. But some will ask, well, why will there be a general judgment? Because is not every human being judged at his death? What we call the particular judgment? And indeed, that is true. But the reason for the general judgment, in which our sins and the sins of all mankind will be manifest to everyone else, the reason for the general judgment will be to show forth the perfect justice and goodness of Almighty God. It will be, we might say, the balancing of the scales. So often in this life, the wicked have the upper hand. So often in this life, the good are oppressed by the evil people in the world. And oftentimes the wicked seem to get away with it, with whatever it is they do, and they're not caught. They're not punished. At least we don't see a punishment. So the general judgment will be the opportunity for the perfect justice and mercy of God to shine forth before all mankind. Everyone will be obliged to confess what God has done for us, how many graces we were given, how many opportunities. And the wicked will call out for the mountains to fall upon them and cover them and hide them from our Lord. And as our Lord says in the gospel, that he will come and then will be seen the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, the sign of the cross. And all of those who lived according to the cross, who followed our Lord, who said, if you will be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me, they will derive great comfort and joy upon seeing the image of the cross in the sky. But those who have spurned the cross, those who have rejected it, they will tremble and fear in judgment. Now, some may say, well, will my sins then, my most secret sins, be manifested to everyone? There's one priest who said, and he quoted some theologian, that it was his opinion that sins confessed in the confessional would not be revealed on the last day. Just a theological opinion. But whatever the case may be, if the sins of the just are revealed, it will not be in any way to shame them, but rather it will be just the opposite. It will be unto their greater honor that they confessed their sins, they repented of their sins, and they amended their lives. Just as we read in the gospel about St. Mary Magdalene being a sinner, and we do not hold that against her, rather we esteem her all the more as such a great saint because of her repentance, her penance, penitential life, her complete conversion, one of the greatest saints in heaven. Our Lord even said that this story of her repentance would be told in all the world to her greater honor. And so we ought not fear that judgment. And we will not fear it if we are living a good Catholic life, which of course we all must. But it is something to think about. It is often mentioned in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, about the end of the world and this judgment in which everything will be balanced, we might say. All of this, as I said, the scales will be balanced. And God will show forth that all his works are perfect. And so you might say it will be an opportunity for all mankind to see the justice and the mercy of God, to give praise to Almighty God, and then after that, eternity. And as our Lord says in another place in the Gospel of St. Matthew, that he will divide on that day the good from the wicked. And the wicked he will place on his left-hand side, and he will say to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." But the just he will separate unto his right. And he will say, "Come, blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So that is why Holy Mother Church gives us this gospel on the first Sunday of Advent, because we are reflecting upon the coming of Christ into the world. And remember not only his first coming, but also the second coming, the coming of Christ in judgment at the end of the world. And reflect upon these tremendous truths every time you say the Apostles' Creed and you profess your faith in Christ, having suffered, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We all will witness that tremendous day. May we live in such a manner that we will be placed on our Lord's right, and that we will rejoice with the just on that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.